So that's good. I mean, what better thing could you sing, right? You got us in our happy spot now. Not only were we able to sing about Jesus' birth, but think of Hawaii as we did it, with the sun shining in the window, loving it. Thanks, guys. So it's the theme this morning is joy. And so let's start that way. I realize that we don't all come with happy, happy, and joy, joy. I know that. Oh, yes. Oh, with you. I'm just getting a cue back there, so it takes a lot to get a cue to me. But anyhow, yeah, it's not easy to get my attention, trust me on this. But this morning, I realize it's not easy to have this joy bubbling up in you. But I thought we'd start a little light this morning. I got a little newsflash for you. So, who here holds a church key? Come on, put the hands up, because some of you are holding out on us. Okay, put your hands down, that's good. Now that I've shamed you enough. We've sent out an email lately that tells us that we have an alarm set up. I don't know if you noticed that. And so the key holders have to come in with their keys, and they sign all these things, and then they just get prepared so that they don't get stuck like me with the alarm going off. So here's what happened to me, just to give you a little light feeling this morning. We need this every now and then at Christmas time, right? If you're stressed trying to find that right gift or whatever you're trying to do, get ready for the exams, right, guys? How you doing, by the way, with your exams? Could you come up? No, I'm just joking. They're doing very well, I'm sure. But here's what I did. So I, to my defense, I didn't actually know the alarm was set up the first time, right, Becca, wherever you are? Okay, so I didn't know that. And so I came in, you know, casual as I could be. My mind is on a million things like always, you know, just sidetracked everywhere. You know me. I'm on a trip and I'm looking at everything. And as I came in, someone was parked in the parking lot and there was a trailer there and they're blocking, I don't know, four or five spots. And they didn't tell us about this. So I had to go over and take care of that, right? So I'm talking to them and we're discussing that and we actually had a good talk about it. And the guys were working on some sewer stuff there. As you notice, the ground was all ripped up. So I did that. So I'm coming in just casually enjoying myself, open the door, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 and oh my gosh. No, so here's me. I don't know about you, but I was just panicking. I have an app, and I have a code, but I can't think of what either of them are. And so I can't figure out the code. I don't know what to do. And then I pull up my app, and of course my app won't open because I have to put in my user and my password. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm throwing my stuff down on the floor and I'm trying to figure this out. And then finally I figure out somehow, miraculously, I got my app to work, but it wasn't until already the alarm was going. And so I finally push it, boop, it's off. And that big smile on my face, this is awesome. However, now I have to call Pastor Kyla because she's the one that's going to get the first call, and that's a little bit shaming too, right? So I did the call, say, oh, Kyla, I just need you to know, and she's sick home, like I can barely get out of bed, and here I'm calling her early in the morning to let her know I set off the alarm, which she already knows. And then, right? It's so embarrassing. So I tell her, and then that's all good. And then Becca comes in, and then we realize that nobody called us. Actually, you know what? Guess what? I was within the 30 seconds, even after the alarm went, so I could have kind of slid under a little bit, right? So I'm good. And knowing all along that apparently someone has a bet about how many times I'll set the alarm off. So, okay, it's only half that you get for that because it went off, but yeah, so right, okay. So anyhow, the next morning, the same thing happens. So I'm just busy, right? I'm always thinking about things. That's my problem. I've got all sorts of really important things on my mind, right? Things to do. And so I'm doing the same thing. I've just kind of got it all figured out. And I open the door. Beep, 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 beep. I'm like, oh, no. This time I couldn't figure out my username or my password. And I'm just panicking. And then I'm throwing my stuff around again. And I turn around and Becca's actually at the door. Do you need some help? But I let the door close. I let the door close. I'm like, oh no. So I'm going to the thing and I pull up my wallet. Oh, I have a little card that says a number on it. But apparently it's not the password, but I thought it was. So I'm punching it in and it wasn't working either. And finally, somehow Becca scrambled and got the door open, even though I didn't help her. And she came in and she relieved me and actually set it so that it didn't go off. And that's not one either, because she saved me. So I'll just call those two halves and you can have one. One, right? We're all clear on this? He gets one. All right. Yeah. So, and then I spent the next, what, 5-10 minutes trying to figure out what my password was. Finally came in and sat down at the office with Beck and said, what do you think I should do? Well, why don't you just reset it, Rob? Okay, well, let's reset it. So now I do know my password for my app. And it's, oh yeah, actually I should tell you all because that would probably be a good idea. Then you can help me out, right? I could have someone put you on speed dial. Please help me right away. But the long story short of it is you really need to let us know if you have a key, because you don't want to be in my situation. And fortunately for me, we did not have the video surveillance, because I wouldn't have wanted them to see me in the corner, crouched down and panicking about what's going on. Life can be crazy, right? It can be crazy. And we do kind of ridiculous things. And initially, particularly the second time I did it, I questioned my ability to think and to be aware of the obvious things. And I sat there and I was a little bit shy to even talk to Becca about it and to let her know that I couldn't remember my password for my app. And finally we figured that out. She helped me with my password also. I didn't even know that. She eventually helped me with that for pushing things in. But you know what? As you start to talk about life, and even as I express it with you, there's a real freedom in it. And there's actually a joy in it, right? There's a joy in it when we're able to just let down our guard and express who we are and allow people to join us in our life, as chaotic as it is sometimes, as embarrassing as it is sometimes. And yet there can be something really good that come out of it, and we can actually engage even a little bit more than we ever thought we could. And now you know how to help me too, so that's good. But there are lots of ways at Christmas that we do attempt to make life more joyful, if you want to call it that, because we have all these expectations about how Christmas should be and how we should be, I guess, happy or something like that. And so we try to conjure that up in some way, right? But why don't, just as we start, why don't we open in prayer? And as I open in prayer, I just want to remind you that in our services, particularly when we have two services, we have a prayer time that actually you can come to if you want, where we pray for our service before this, well, in between, I guess, for the one previous and the one coming up, that God would be with us. And so there's people that meet in the fireside to do that, and you're welcome to join us. Or when we have our single services, like we're having for the next few weeks, then you can just join just prior to the service down in the fireside room. And I know Lorraine is always there, and you can join her, and I try to join as much as I can. But it's a great time to pray. So let's pray together. Father, this morning I want to thank you for the fact that you are with us, and we've already been prayed for. But we pray again, and we ask that you would join us. And at Christmas time particularly, we remember Jesus, Emmanuel, come down to be with us and to give us peace and hope. And as we talk about this Sunday, joy and your love and, in fact, your Son. So as we come, we just want to remind you, God, that it's our desire in our hearts to be Christ-centered and to walk that way with you at the center, to be Spirit-empowered, to rest and depend on you for your Spirit to work in our lives and to make you known among us, around us, and beyond us. And at this Christmas season, we recognize that there's often greater opportunities to do that. So I pray that you would work through our lives to do that. And as we come and speak about joy, God, that you would put an inner joy in our hearts, something that transforms us from the inside and reflects on the outside. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Anyhow, so we do try to conjure up things, right? What I just did there was funny, but it's not going to last forever. I mean, you'll have it and you'll be bugging me about it for a while, but it's not going to last forever, right? There will be moments where that will just be washed away. And life, you get back to life and you experience life, and it tends to wipe away those sort of trivial, funny things. But there are a variety of things that we do. I don't know how you set up Christmas, but anybody watch the movie Elf? Come on with me. Anybody watch Buddy, right? Buddy and the Syrup? Patty hates it. Okay, so it doesn't work, right? So I get happy, she gets sad and angry. It's like, what is this? That's just stupid, Rob. So anyhow, But then there's Hallmark, right? You can watch Hallmark, and that works. It's kind of, yeah, it's okay. I always know when that movie's over. As soon as they kiss, it's done, right? You ever watch that movie? Any of those shows, they kiss, the movie's over. Okay. In case you haven't seen that, I just ruined it for you. It works like that. Okay. We, of course, sometimes just like to lighten up the season just by having everything set up. So if we can have everything set up, like the tree set up, which we got set up, and then the lights on and the decorations, thanks to Will and to Dennis, they set up and put on our lights plus our decorations while my kids sat down and told them what to do. What a family experience, right? But we do certain things in order to kind of get things all together. And then we feel a little bit better. We get a little smile on our face, maybe temporarily, because at least we've set it up, right? It's all ready to go. We're good to go. Perhaps you just, let's see here. Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm going to bug the students again. Perhaps there's just this joy of actually completing an exam, or even better, completing them all. Wow, what a feeling, right? When you're all done and you just have that, oh, I can smile for a while. It doesn't really matter how well I did because I'll deal with that later, right? but I'm just glad to have it done and I'm pretty sure I passed. Or maybe not, but anyhow, I'm done. And so we have all these things that we try to do in order to sort of feel better about ourselves. But ultimately, there's still something that needs to be a little more to it, because we realize that shortly after, even though those good feelings are there, something may come up that often does, and you guys know what it is in your life. I think you know what it is in your life, the types of things that come up that catch you up short, and all of a sudden you're reminded of this issue or this person or this thing that's happening, and you feel the anxiety maybe rising. And you feel maybe the sadness rising, or you feel things coming up that just are too overwhelming. And it basically drowns out the other things that are happening. I know for a fact that there are people that can walk through the most beautiful area in the world and not even see it. They don't even know that it's there. They don't realize the detail and the amazing things that are around them. People can definitely walk through Christmas, where one person would walk through it and say, wow, this is awesome, I love it, I'm so excited, and they would not see a thing. It's as if their head were down, they had blinders on, and they weren't looking. Because there's something more happening, right? We're very complex. God made us in a unique way, and yet he knows us, and he knows all of that. So he actually wants to establish something deeper, something greater, something that will transform us and will completely make us new and give us the ability maybe to stop that elusive sort of journey to find joy and actually find it in Christ and the gift that he's given to us. So as we talk about joy this morning, there's a couple characters that I want to look at. And the first one, as Ed already mentioned, was the shepherds. So we'll talk about them. We'll look at, now this you probably won't have heard before in a Christmas message, but we're going to look at Zacchaeus. All right, interesting character. And then we're going to go right at the end and take a quick look at Simeon. I know you're looking at your watches thinking, how is he going to do that? Well, about 20 minutes for each guy, okay? No, I won't do that. So, but we'll look at those guys, and then I'm hoping that through that you will experience and you will understand and possibly have some steps that you can take in order to draw near to Christ so that he can make a difference within our hearts, so that it will come out and give us the ability to actually enjoy our holidays, no matter what we're going through. All right. So if we start, first of all, with Jesus, and I know I didn't put him on the list, but we're going to start with him anyhow. It appears to me that in both the story of the shepherds and Zacchaeus and Simeon, the changing moment for all of these characters were when Jesus was present, as was the case for Mary and for Joseph. Something happened when he was present, when he was coming near to them. And that's why we talked so much about Emmanuel, God with us at Christmas, because God allowed himself to come down in the form of us, like people, in order to be with us. So as he came down, the first element we obviously have to have in our life in order to have joy is Jesus. And if you haven't experienced Jesus, we'd love to talk to you about that and just allow you to see what that would mean to receive him into your life. We know that Jesus, as we already looked at the candles, gives us hope. Talked about hope, the journey to hope. We know that he gives us peace. We talked about the gift of peace. And as he gives us hope and peace, it seems pretty apparent that if you have hope and peace, you could probably have joy. Is that not true? If we do a little math here, I think that works out. But it ultimately has to happen as we allow Jesus to come and be with us. I've shared this story before, and I'll share it again. Sorry, Nick, but it's a story that represents kind of is one of Nick and my story. And when Nick was just a little guy, why'd you come up with me, Nick? No, he's not liking this. So when he was just a little guy, one of the things he would do with me is I would be with him. You ever be with a person, but you're not really with them? You do that? You're kind of with them, but you're not really with them. And they're talking to you, and you're kind of listening, but you're not really listening. Well, Nick would always grab my face, go like this, get your face over here, Dad, like that. And he'd just literally pull me over. It's really effective, actually. It's good, because you're picturing me now, right? Because I'm all over the map. But when he does that, the physical touch brings me in and centers me in. That's what God's trying to do to us this morning. Right? He literally wants to take our face and say, can you get your face over here? You see, because God's already come down, right? He's already here in the form of Jesus. And yeah, he died and went to heaven, but the Holy Spirit is right here with us. And he's just saying, come on, can you turn your heart this way? Turn it to me and let me be a part of your life. Let me help you. Let me help you be transformed. So when the shepherds had this experience, that's literally what it was like. They're out in the field, and quite literally, the angels just came to them, in God representing God. And just, you know, if anything turned their head, that did, right? Like, it was just a shocking experience. Oh, glory in the highest. And they announced the birth of Jesus. And they sang like a choir to them. Wow, imagine a special choir coming like that in the heavens, in the sky. It's just shocking. And these shepherds, their attention was grabbed, and they could not help but draw near to Jesus. I'm wondering this morning how God has done that for you, and you're just not aware. Your head's down, you're walking, and you don't even see the beauty because you're just so caught up in yourself. Don't you know that probably the thing that keeps us farthest from Jesus is the lie that we live that says that we have to take care of ourselves, and we need more. We have to do more so that we can feel better this Christmas, or we have to give better gifts so I can feel better this Christmas, or I have to set up my health, whatever, you know the list. I have to do all of those things so that I can feel better. Where really what we need is to allow God's great attention getter that he's already set up for us to actually work and turn our face towards him and let him minister to us. Give us hope. Give us peace. Give us joy. Give us love. Give us Jesus in our hearts. Man, isn't it amazing that we can even walk as Christians with the Holy Spirit within us and still not be attentive to him, right? Somehow we've managed to do that. It's like we're two different people. And God desperately wants to be like the angels coming to you and wants to grab your attention, wants to bring you near so that you have an opportunity this Christmas to actually have the joy that he wants you to have. And it's not all about this laughing that we did as I shared my ridiculous experience and other things. That's good, and I believe that's actually very important because we know what happens when we laugh. We do let down our guard a bit, right? And it gives God an opportunity to work in our lives. But it's not the thing that's going to transform us. How about Zacchaeus? So let's go to Zacchaeus just for a moment here. I did actually mark it so I could find it pretty quickly. And that's the wrong one. So Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Anybody know that song? All right, you want to come up and sing it, Tracy? No, okay. Yeah. Okay, so the story of Zacchaeus is he was a thief, right? And he was all about himself. This is the problem again. He's all about himself, and he's overtaxing people, his very own people. He's kind of moved in with the enemy, sleeping with the enemy, as it were, and he's taking money from his own people, and his people are quite upset with him, but he's kind of shielded from that because he's getting what he wants. So he feels okay about it. There's probably moments when he doesn't, but overall he feels good about it. But obviously there's something in his heart that's missing. And so when Jesus comes into the area, and by the way, we know what Jesus is all about. He's all about meeting people in the marginal areas, right? On the side, who don't appear to need Jesus or don't appear to be the type of people that we'd want to speak to. They're on the outside. They're kind of outcasts. And yet Jesus is there for them. That's where he came. What are we doing? I'm not sure. We better get online with that too, I think. At any rate, that's the same thing he did with the shepherds. So here he is with Zacchaeus. He's with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus wants to see him. He's a wee little man, though, as the story goes. It's such a cute story, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, it's such a cute story. It's a nice one to tell for Sunday school. This little guy couldn't see, so he climbs up a tree. Actually rhymes. And he climbs up the tree. And he's looking, he's trying to see Jesus. And he does see Jesus as he goes by. And amazingly, Jesus sees him. I'm not sure he had that in mind, right? Think about that a little bit. First of all, this experience that Zacchaeus has had here, he's a little different than the shepherds. He's actually looking for somebody. Not that the shepherds weren't, but actively they weren't at that point. God just kind of met them. We don't know interpersonally what was really going on in their lives, but with Zacchaeus, we do. he was feeling something that he needed that wasn't quite here with him, and he needed something more, and so he climbed up on a tree, and he saw Jesus, and he didn't know even what that was going to do. I mean, let's face it, you're just seeing Jesus, but he felt like there was something different that was going to happen, and because he was able to make that step, go up, God looked up to him and saw him and engaged with him, and as the story goes, says that Jesus, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house today. You know, I'm going to come and I'm going to join you. And so Zacchaeus amazingly said, yeah, come to my house. Some of us fail at that point. We don't invite him. But he said, come to my house. And so Jesus was able to draw near because Zacchaeus said, come on in. And not only did Zacchaeus let him come in, but as he came in, he spent time with him. He spent time with all his friends. And he was in a place where he shouldn't have been, apparently. But that is what he came for. So he went and did it. We need Jesus to draw near to us. The shepherds allowed Jesus to come near to them, and then they ran off, right? They were so excited. They went off because Jesus had finally got their attention. Has Jesus got your attention this morning? Or are you still waiting for something? Are you still trying to make it work out on your own? Are you still working out the formulas that will make life just perfect? Or have you figured out that maybe you just need to drop that stuff and realize that Jesus is trying to talk to you, trying to reach you and move towards him? Both the shepherds and Zacchaeus somehow, in the midst of their worlds, found the ability to come and to find Jesus. By the way, this fits in really well with what Jesus said. Do you remember what the greatest commandment was? The two greatest? He said, what are the two top commandments? He said, love the Lord your God and to love your neighbors as yourself, to love one another. So if it's the first one, they drew near to Jesus. Zacchaeus, he loved Jesus, right? Why did he love Jesus? Because Jesus took time to look at him. Even though Jesus knew who he was, nobody else wanted to have anything to do with Zacchaeus, but Jesus did. The shepherds loved Jesus. They did. Because for some reason, he sent the heavenly hosts to them. And they responded with amazing joy, right? They just wanted to be with Jesus. They didn't even know why. They had no idea, right? There were limited ideas of what that would all be about. And by the way, you know, those shepherds, they're not like the wise men. And they're not like the leaders of the law. They hadn't studied it all to figure out. Sure, they'd heard about the Messiah, but they hadn't studied it all out and figured out, oh yeah, well, obviously this is the Messiah because I studied it and I knew he was going to come. That wasn't the case. They were totally unsure. They just were drawn to Jesus as he made himself known to them. Jesus wants to make himself known to you this morning. He does. Can you please open your heart to that? Can you move towards that? Give him an opportunity to make your life completely new. Even if you're already in relationship with him, we all need it desperately because we're going to go through the ups and downs, and that's life. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, it says life, it's really tough. It's a rough experience. It's a broken world. But in this world, take heart, because he has overcome the world. Right? That's always the reminder we have as we go through this. If you have a hope as you draw near to Jesus and a knowledge that he has overcome, then you have this peace and this hope that you can go through it. If you don't have that knowledge, and if you don't believe it, you do not have the hope. You will not have the peace, because then you're going to have to do it yourself. Good luck with that. And some of you are really good with it, and that's why you're still holding out. Still able to do it. You feel like you can, but you cannot. And keep going until you fall, I guess, because that's when you'll discover that you need something more. You need God to help you. All right, love God. But it also said to love others. So it was interesting. I think you'll see that both these characters followed these commands. Love others. So not only did the shepherds run off to the stable or the cave or whatever it might be, and they saw Jesus, the baby Jesus, but after they saw him, what did they do? They ran back and they told people just excitedly. Like they told anybody that would listen, all their buddies, and you can imagine who their buddies were, right? They're all the guys who were, you know, the shepherds as well. And probably they were not known. They did not have great reputations, these guys, so... Again, they were guys that were sort of on the margins and weren't respected, not looked up to. And yet those are the guys that were telling. These are the first guys to hear about Jesus coming down, right, in the form of a baby. It's pretty amazing. And others was the first thing they had. Because Jesus was in their heart. He drew near to them, right? It didn't have to be a rule written. It was just a thing that was done because Jesus was in their heart. When Jesus draws near to us, that is and will be the first thing we'll do too. Love the Lord your God and love others. Love the Lord your God, love others. Do it. Love the Lord your God and love others. The shepherds went. We need to go. Don't hoard it up. Don't keep it within you. Let it burst out. You know it's there and God wants you to do it. Experience it now. And we can all do it in different ways. I'm not expecting you to do it the same way I do or me to do it the same way you do it. But do it. Because those are the top commandments and those are the things that are going to give you the joy. That's what's going to open up your life. We're living, unfortunately, with all the lies that Satan shoots to us that says, no, we can't, and we shouldn't, and it's just going to hurt you. And besides, you don't have the energy to do it. You don't have the time. You don't have the ability. You don't have the money. Whatever it is. I don't know what the list is, but there's lots of them. And we're good at taking them in and allowing those excuses to be there. Well, forget about it. Can you please put that out? Draw near to Jesus. Number one priority, and then see what he wants you to do from there. Well, he wants you to love others. I could tell you that already because he's made it clear. Let's do it. And then we know very clearly with Zacchaeus. Wow, did he ever respond, right? He was so in love with Jesus. He was so in love with God that he gave all of his self-centeredness away, it appeared like. I'm sure there was more left, but it just seemed like it. He just kept giving money back, just like throwing wads of money back that he had taken over all this time. And you think, wow, what are you doing? Keep a little bit. Like, how are you gonna take care of yourself? How are you going to take care of your family? How are you going to keep your future going? Come on, Zacchaeus, don't lose the dream. No. Guys, he let Jesus draw near. And all of a sudden, he didn't have to worry about the future anymore. God was in control. And he knew what he had to do. It's time to get it right with people. With others. And he went out, and who knows what effect that had, right? On the people around there. As they saw Jesus come into town, Jesus went with the guy that could never dream he would go with, and they're judging him and saying, wow, Jesus, he obviously doesn't know what he's doing. But of course he did. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he did it for us. Right? He did it for us, and he's doing it for you right now. He's speaking to you right now, and he wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that not only does he love you, but he sees the way you've lived. So there's actually an action maybe that you need to take now. And it may involve others. So please, take the action. Move. Make a difference. Go to others. Go to the others in your family or the other friends that you have or the workplace or whatever it is. And I don't care really what it costs you. It doesn't matter. Do what God's called you to do. And he will take care of you. Like he'll walk you through it. And he'll provide for you. Because that's what God does. These are the hard steps of Christianity. And yet it's the joy that we can receive if we're willing to walk through it. And that is to love God and to love one another. Just about finished here. In Luke, I told you I was going to talk about Simeon. So let's do Simeon just a little bit here. Such a great story. I actually really love this story. And it starts so simple. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. That's the way it starts. Okay, that's interesting. And this is Luke writing. And Luke's he's a pretty detailed guy. He likes to get a lot of information down. He says he was a righteous and a devout man. So it was someone who loved God, right? He just loved God. And he had hopes for the Messiah. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. That was his life. It's hard to picture this, actually, in some ways for me. But that was his life, waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was on him. God had already drawn near to him. The Holy Spirit was right with him. And it says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. In verse 27, moved by the Spirit. So again, we have just like the angels coming and singing to the shepherds, and then Jesus coming to meet the Zacchaeus. God comes to us. He moves on us in his Spirit. He will come to you. He'll move on you, and he'll show you it's time to go. And so he did with this guy as well, who is this guy? Simeon. The Holy Spirit said that he would not die before, and he moved on him in his spirit, and he went to the temple courts. So he actually moved when he felt the Holy Spirit speaking to him. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him. He was actually, like, God moved him to the right place in order that he could actually hold God. Wow. I know, you know, you're thinking, well, that's not going to happen to me. Okay, maybe you're right. But you, in a sense, are holding God. He's right in your heart. And the funny thing is, we know that, of course, it's God that's holding us. But he held God, and he said, here's what he said, and they quoted, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Jesus drew near to him, like physically, and through his spirit. And why, Simeon? I don't know. But he was able to say, even at that point, as I think, I don't know if any of you have said that when you became a Christian, but wow, that's all I needed, God. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Because I know you. Use me the way you want, but I'm ready. It's as if Simeon, he's, that's it. That's good. I'm done. I'm ready to roll because now I know that, God, you are here. Your salvation has come. Patty and I were listening to a devotional this week, and it was interesting because it was talking about this lady who was trying to get ready for Christmas and trying to get everything prepared, and but was struggling because at Christmas, the expectation, as I said earlier, was to be happy and joyful and all this kind of stuff. And so she was trying to do that, but then she would see things that not... Well, let's face it, our world's broken, right? So if you look to the left or to the right, left or right, you're going to see things that are not so good. You may be remembering that, oh, we lost some loved ones just recently. Or maybe my friend has cancer. Or possibly that relationship just broke up and it's very sad. Or just a list of things. And I know that you maybe have one in your mind right now. And so this person was saying, well, maybe what I need to do is just turn away from those things and not really see them. And just focus in on Christmas. And divert, right? Divert. Turn the other way so I can get back to the joy of Christmas. But then she talked about this story, and it reminded her that it's true that life's broken, but it's also true that Jesus is our Savior, and that ultimately he has overcome the darkness. The darkness has come, or the light has come, and it's gone into the darkness, but it is not overcome by the darkness. In fact, as a matter of fact, it has overcome the darkness. And as she looked at this story, the ultimate truth that she shared was, yeah, this world is broken, but I've seen the face of my Savior, just like Simeon did. And I know that he will save us. I may not have seen all the salvation played out yet. I may not have seen everybody in heaven yet. I may not have seen healing to my friend. I may not have seen this relationship come back together. But I know that ultimately there is a Savior and that he is in the process of saving us. And there will be a time when he will return and he will take us to be with him. And I know that that's very encouraging, particularly for those of us who have lost loved ones. And so there's a passage that's so clear for us in the scriptures that just you cannot help but read in 1 Thessalonians 4, easy for me to say, and it goes like this. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of... Pardon? Yes, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so he will be with the Lord forever. We will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This morning, we have this. You know what? Simeon was waiting. It kept saying he was waiting, 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 waiting. Many people are waiting, waiting, waiting. And maybe you're waiting also. Well, Jesus has come, by the way. Not only has he come, but he's died and he's risen and the Holy Spirit is with us. But good news, he's saving us. And so there's joy that can be expressed and actually felt within us no matter what we're going through because we know that there is a Savior that's returning. There's a Savior that's coming back. And he's here for us. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word that's evidently directing us towards being with you. Thank you that you want to actually draw near to us. and you grab our attention. I pray that our eyes would not be turned away and that we would not be deceived. We would not be blind, but that you open our eyes to see you so that we can draw near and experience not just a happy feeling, but a feeling of joy, a feeling of peace and hope and love as we come near you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.